You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, guys. Welcome, everyone, to our second How to Be More Chill Live. Sam and I are so ecstatic and grateful to the Broadway Podcast Network for giving us this opportunity to share one of the most extraordinary and special talents working in the musical theater, who is at the very beginning of what I promise you is going to be a very long career. But we have the London productions of Be More Chill's Miracle Chance joining us today.
So excited to talk to her.
So as my friend Sam says, Miracle Chance, let's do this.
Let's do this.
Hello.
Hi, yes. Miracle.
Hi, how are you?
Miracle,
so great. London. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
I can't believe it. Where are you? Who are you quarantining with? And how are you first?
Well, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm in London. So it's like 8 p.m. here. I'm in North London. Got my merch, obviously, ready to go. I'm quarantining with my boyfriend, actually, who's doing a pub quiz in the other room.
Really?
Yeah,
like a pub quiz from a magazine, or
you know, like a pub quiz. You know, like pubs.
Oh, pub quiz.
Got it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they have like a Guinness or a pint. Yeah. So we have them. We've been doing them on Zoom. You know, you can have like a, you know, you sit down at the pub, you have your peanuts, your pint, and you answer questions.
Oh, so like trivia. I think the American. I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Is he an actor also?
No, he's actually a musician, and he's a stand-up comedian as well. Aww. Yeah.
We should have told him that if he has any trouble answering any questions, he can like pop in and it's like the lifeline, phone a friend. And he can like utilize the whole internet to answer his question. And
yeah, I'm sure everyone would be really, really good at that as well. No, he's it's a really hard pub quiz as well. His family, I keep on doing it and I can't get any of the questions right. Only if they're like theater related, Shakespeare related, I'm fine. But anything else.
Oh my God, I feel you.
I know. But yeah, he's in a band called Area 11. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Awesome. So guys, Area 11, is there music on SoundCloud and Spotify, like everywhere wonderful music is heard?
It is indeed. You can find them. You can find them anywhere you like. They've got a lot of variation of music. So I'll leave that there and let you guys check that out.
That sounds great. We got to hear about you from your director, Stephen Brackett, when he came on the podcast, and he was just ecstatic, like truly ecstatic about his London cast. And so Sam and I know like exactly how, where we were, what time it was when we got to learn about you joining the cast. But can you just share with us, because we're obsessed, how did you come to hear of, know of, like the words Be More Chill? How did that come to you? And tell us everything about how you discovered this musical.
Okay, I will. I'm excited to tell you. So I actually have a few friends who are American. I kind of heard of Be More Chill a bit before, just, you know, as you are, you know, you're in the industry. Michael in the Bathroom obviously went quite viral. Awesome song. And I've heard of that one song, but I hadn't like delved into the Be More Chill world yet. I got the audition through. And at the time I think I was in like Eastbourne, which is this kind of seaside town in England, you know. And I got the audition through for Be More Chill. And I was like, that was it. I was like, right, I've got to delve into it. Like, who's this character? Who is Christine? Like, so I was listening to I Love Play Rehearsal and all of the soundtrack, and I was like, wow, like this is such an awesome acting role. Like, you can flex your muscles so much in this role. And I kind of like was hearing the stuff on loop, all of the tracks on the soundtrack. And I was like, it's really like sticking in my head, you know? So I went in for my first audition and I actually had like literally no voice, like it gone.
Wait, for your first rehearsal?
my first audition for the show.
Oh, audition. Wait, so you didn't have to put yourself on tape? Like you, when you only went into the audition room when the creative team was here, was there, I should say?
Yeah, so they did like a first round where it was the casting director in England and a musical supervisor in England who was kind of seeing the auditions, and we had the MD in the room as well. Okay. And it was kind of like a first round to see if you're kind of appropriate, and then the creative team were going to come over and do what I'm going to call the Be More Chill boot camp. It quite was.
And so for that audition, do you come in with a prepared song that you sing, or is it a song from the show?
Yeah, so it was like I bring a couple of pop songs, but on the day and it's funny because you never tell these stories, do you? You know, you never dream of telling your casting director, well, this is what happened.
But yeah,
I was doing the Rocky Horror Show at the time, and we were in Eastbourne or I can't remember, we were somewhere, and I'd lost my voice completely. It was the Monday, and on tour you travel on the Monday and you go to kind of do the show, and I called up my MD in the morning and I said I've got this audition today, but I've got literally no voice, and I woke up at like 6 a.m. I was like, what do I do? I really love this show. Oh no, what am I gonna do? So I just thought, you know what, I've got to make a bold choice. I've just got to make them laugh any way I possibly can. And right. I've just got to show them that I'm bold and I'm happy. Come on, I'm just gonna do something bold and be Christine. And I went in there, I took my song, I quite frankly screeched it. But you know, I made a joke afterwards. I'm really sorry, really, really sorry for screeching it. But it went
what
all right.
What did you sing?
I sang "Girls Just Want to Have Fun."
Perfect.
Cool. Perfect. Awesome. Yeah, but perfect.
I made it kind of like hip hoppy. No. Cool.
I love also that audition story already so far is just so Christine Canigula. It's like exactly what she would have done in that situation. Just go in and make them laugh, struggle through it.
No, it was awful. And they said, oh, do you think you can manage another one? And I thought, I was like coughing. And they went, no, maybe just do scales. I said, yeah, just do some scales. But that was fine. And then the boot camp started, and we got to meet the wonderful Chase, the choreographer of the show. And wow, we did three routines. We did More Than Survive. We did, not Smartphone Hour. No, it was, we did the Jump Style, which we call it, Jump Style, in the middle of Halloween. And we did the Army one.
Wow.
So this is your callback.
This is my callback, yeah.
They throw you into like a major dance call.
Oh, it was like, and I'm giving you like, everyone was giving it 110. Like, I think it was like 3 hours long. I'm pretty sure it was about 3 hours long, yeah.
And what else did you have to do? Did you have to sing for anyone? Was it just the choreography that they were really focused on at the first callback?
Yeah, so the first callback, I think they wanted to see how you could tell the story of the characters, because there's only like 10 characters in the show and each of them are very heavily featured and it's a very much an ensemble piece, you know, to tell the story. And so Chase's choreography is so detailed and it's very precise, and with all the script stuff, it's got to all be like very dynamic. But then because we're playing all the ensemble as well, you've got to tell such a story that maybe you know, normally you wouldn't have to playing a character as well. So it's like, how do we do that through line of being the character at the school, you're following each character story at the school, and then you're in a squip outfit, you know, you're being very rich.
Totally. So I'm just curious, when you first read the script, because you and I chatted for a second before we went live, and I had seen that you had lived in LA for a year. You know, in talking to Scott Folan and other people involved in the British production, there were a lot of things in the script that they were sent that they really didn't kind of understand the references. They were just really American. And I don't know if things switched to kind of more British pop culture from American pop culture once you were already in rehearsal, or if that started before you even saw the script. But Sam and I are just so curious, like when you read it,
Or even listening to the cast recording. Yeah, like were there things that you were just like, what does that even mean? Because it's such an American pop culture reference.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm laughing, the How to Be More Chill logo, like a red solo cup, like, I didn't even know.
What's that? Right.
But we're laughing.
I didn't even think of that. That's amazing, right? Yeah. I guess that is such an American, like, party thing, a red solo cup. Exactly. Wow.
And you see all, you know, we watch so much American TV and so many American films, and we see these parties, and that is so iconic. The red solo cup, but like none of us knew that that's what it was called.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, and I guess I actually had an advantage. Like I knew what Mountain Dew was because I trained in America for a year, so I knew. I think I did know the references, but I didn't want to be like, oh well, I know the references, but there were people who like maybe didn't. And you know, things like Hot Pockets was like one where Stephen Brackett as well, like he was like so shocked if we didn't know anything. Like it was so funny. Like he really makes me laugh. He was like, what? You don't know what a Hot Pocket is? Like, what are we going to change it to? And what's the Italian restaurant? It was,
Sbarro.
Sbarro. I didn't know
what
that.
Was it in your production?
Pizza Hut.
Oh, okay. All right.
A very international brand. What about your American accent? Was that something you had done before? Was that something that was nerve-wracking for you?
I actually really like the American accent. Like, it sounds really weird, but I find it almost more comfortable to play characters that are American because I feel like I can make a more bold choice and step into the character, which is further away from myself. So with I've done Footloose before as well, which kind of has a really great accent, and especially for ad-libbing, it's just so much fun. It's just
like what they say about in acting class, where like a mask helps you really, like when you do acting with a mask, that it really helps you like feel freer and make bolder choices. I'm realizing as you say that maybe an accent sort of provides that vocally, where you can sort of have that, you're putting something on automatically with your voice, so then it's easier to kind of make a bolder choice too, I guess.
Absolutely.
And feel like someone else.
Yeah, and it's a really weird one. Like, I honestly think when I play an American, my character feels more like rich in texture. I know that sounds really odd, but whenever I listen for like British stuff, I kind of feel like I'm struggling a bit with this character. And I really enjoy, you know, even having a really twangy accent when it's American, or, you know, when I did Rocky Horror, it was a little bit more, it had that kind of New York touches to it too. So I like it. Like you say, it's like a mask and you get into it the more, and especially if it's a bold role, it just helps you.
So when they sent you the audition, did they say use an American accent for the audition?
Yeah, I think like, it's an American show, and it's great. And, you know, one of my friends, Britt, actually absolutely loves the novel. And in the audition process, I was talking to her about it, and it was really great to get her opinion, you know, growing up there and being a teenager and actually, you know, reading Be More Chill and stuff like that. So it was awesome. But the first material round audition was, I mean, the team were just so nice, and you walked in and it was like, they were just so lovely. It was so lovely.
So how did you find out you got the part?
Well, I'd actually, so the week before I closed Rocky Horror in Edinburgh, at one of the biggest theaters in Europe. And I don't know if you guys have seen the Rocky Horror show, but it's so much fun. I just remember being buzzing, but what I was doing was, it was our last week, and I was getting up for the recalls. So I was getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning in Edinburgh, getting the train down to London for the recalls. I think I had like two that week. Three actually that week. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday were all Be More Chill auditions. Got there, had to do my recall, then get a flight back to Edinburgh, do the show, then go back to my, you know, my accommodation.
How long is that train ride?
It's 5 hours.
Oh my gosh.
So you're training it down and then flying back?
Yeah, because it was the only way to get back from the for the show.
On the same day and like make it all work.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You were so exhausted.
I was so exhausted that it made all my scene choices just so much more weird. So,
yeah.
It kind of worked. And I never worked, you know, obviously you work really hard for auditions, but I don't think I've ever worked as hard as I did that week for this audition, because, I mean, you know, you want every job, but I really wanted this job, and I also was exhausted. So I was so... You know, you've got tunnel vision when that kind of happens.
Yeah. So what was the key for you that unlocked Christine? Like, what was either the physical thing? Like, what was the thing when you were either going to the recalls, and we call them callbacks here, but it's recall in London.
Sounds very cool to call them recalls.
It's recall from now on. I'm never saying callback again.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Like, when were you like, and were you seeing all the other people who were also auditioning? Could you like hear each other and see each other? Or was it kind of like the Christines were separate?
I don't think they separated us. I just happened to never bump into, I don't think. I mean, in the dance recalls, obviously there would have been.
But you weren't hearing other Christine auditions.
I didn't hear one Christine audition.
Right. It's all yours. So when was the thing where you like, oh, this just unlocked whatever I needed to kind of full on inhabit this person?
To be honest, I trained in America, and my best friend, this is actually really funny. My best friend, Christine.
Caligula. Weird.
So funny. She was my roommate. I went to Idlewild Arts Academy, and she was my roommate there, and she was a theater major, you know, and she walked in the first day. She had these crazy like lemon sunglasses, and we all had to do a monologue, and she did this one called The Raptor, and she kind of she's doing this, and as soon as I got the material through, I just thought, it's Christine.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what was really amazing was I was able to, because I was playing quite a bold role on stage every night anyway at the time I was playing Columbia, I had this scene in Rocky Horror where she breaks down, she cries, she gets stunned by a gas gun, and then she just goes like bananas basically around the stage. And because I was making these bold choices every night and finding this depth in Columbia, I felt when I was able to go to these recalls and take Stephen's notes, the more Stephen was like, you know, find the integrity and the part, or, you know, the comedy and the kookiness is there, and let's just find where this realness comes from.
Yeah, her heart.
Her heart. And I think it's very easy. I think at first I thought, oh, you know, comedy song or character song or this. And I think the moment that I was kind of giving the note about finding the heart and looking into kind of where she's coming from and the pressures that she was feeling. And, you know, you think back to when you're that age and you completely relate. You're like, yeah, there's so much pressure. We all feel it. Like, what do I want to be? Where am I going to go to uni or college? Or, you know, am I going to live up to everything that I want for myself and more? And on top of that, the whole high school thing. And I think as soon as it came from that place, I knew that the rest of the character was kind of there, the comedy and the kind of quirky behaviors. I was like, yeah, I got it. I think.
Let's go. She does have that integrity from early on and just sort of stays the course throughout the entire trajectory of the plot of that show, which is fascinating to me. I never really thought about that. Christine really is such a heroine.
She's the against the grain character. Actually, Joe Iconis is the one who kind of said that to me. Is throughout the whole show, everyone they have their anxieties and things like that, and voices in their head. And Christine does have that, but she stays who she is throughout the whole show. And I just think it's really beautiful where everyone else is like, I'm going to change and I need to do this. And she's against the grain. She's like, no, I don't need to change. And actually, there's a couple of scenes, you know, with Jeremy that she has where she goes, I can't deal with this because, you know, you know, you're being like this. And I can't even remember anymore because I'm like, what were the lines? I was like, I'm going to think of the line. I'm going to say it. And I was like, hang on, I can't remember the lines.
Well, yeah. Luckily, you don't have to go on tonight. And if you did, it would all be right there. Can I ask you, because I think of your name, and is that a stage name or is that a name that you were born with?
It's actually my birth name. My parents quite bohemian, you know, they thought, why not? We'll call it a miracle, give a chance as a surname. Which is kind of funny because I think because I'm an actress, people think that I may have changed my name to Miracle Chance.
Sam and I are obsessed with your name, and I'm so mad I have two kids, and I'm mad that I didn't name them both Miracle, and maybe it's not too late. But I think that when you walk into a room with a name like that, like from very early on, there's a way in which you have to figure out how you're going to handle that. Like they gave you a very big name to deal with from the minute you were sort of aware of that. And I think about like how that must have affected you, right? Like there was no way to be under the wire in any room that you walked into the minute someone heard your name. And I'm curious, and that's so Christine in a way, but what was that like for you? And what does that mean to you to have that name?
I actually have thought about this a lot in the last few years, maybe more than I've acknowledged it before. There's a name for it. I can't remember. Somebody told me there was actually a name for what this means when you grow into your name. But I can't remember who it was. But
like self-fulfilling prophecy in some way, like this idea of
And it's bizarre because actually, you know, it's all the small things that come with it. For example, when you meet someone, you say what your name is. They're 9 times out of 10, they're going to go, they're going to have a reaction to it. They're going to go, unusual name, or that's a strange name, or you know, and having that all your life as a kid until now, actually, you expect the reaction, and you kind of start to become what people think of your name because you're like, oh well, all these people are saying, well, that's a nice name, and that's unusual, and then you kind of like, oh. Well, maybe I am unusual, or you kind of grow into the name because of the reactions that other people are going to have, and you feel like, I guess I couldn't just be like you say, like beige every time you walk into a room. It's really weird, and actually, every audition I do go into, everyone's like, "That's a really unusual name," and they want to know they want to know the story. And I've had that all my life. I think it definitely adds quirkiness and the expectation. I've spoken to my mum about this before, and she was like, oh, darling, I'm so sorry. I hope I haven't burdened you with a name that, you know, has a pressure. But for sure, I don't think I think I've always assumed that I would be unusual simply because of other people's reactions.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. So Be More Chill, my question to you is, so you get the role, you get the job. At that point, are you already aware at how much is going to come with being cast in this role in terms of the fandom? This show, of course, more than most, maybe even more than pretty much all Broadway musicals, has such a devout and robust fandom that really feels a lot of ownership over this show. There's a ton of people who fall very squarely into the Christine Canigula camp, so that's a lot of pressure as well. Was that something that you were aware of in auditions, in rehearsals, not until the show started? Like, when did that sort of responsibility to the fandom become apparent to you?
Well, when I was auditioning for it, obviously I was looking at the material and everything and doing my research, but I hadn't checked the socials. I didn't check the Twitter. You know, I just hadn't thought of it because I think I was so busy at the time trying to go to the audition and do the show and things like that. So it hadn't really occurred to me. And I got the offer through and I was ecstatic. I was like, wow. I told my parents, and my mum and my dad, they really love to snoop online at just anything, you know. And my mum texts me and she goes, I don't know if you know this miracle, but I think Be More Chill's actually got quite a big following. And maybe you should check the Instagram so you know kind of, you know, what you're in for and what might be to come. And I looked on the Instagram and I was like, wow. And the cast list came out for the UK production and I had fan art within like, I don't know, like half an hour.
Wow.
And I could not believe it. Like I was like, this is amazing. And I will say this time and time again, I love sharing all the fans art on my social medias and everything like that, because I know how much time it takes for them to do things. And some of it is just beautiful. Like, and yeah, I have a lot of love for the fans. Meeting them after the show, you know, is always one of my favorite parts of.
Okay, good, awesome. I think that's a very important part. Oh, there's Alana. Are you back?
Oh, hi, Alana.
Hello, are you there? We saw you for a second, Alana. Do you see her miracle?
No, I don't.
I can see you guys. I'm so sorry, but keep going.
Okay.
I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. So
we've got you back in full force now.
I'm 100% enchanted and keep going.
Great. Amazing. Yes, meeting the fans after the show is like awesome. They come from all over. Some people have come from America, some people, you know, Germany, Spain, France, you name it. We had some people from Mexico, Australia, and it's awesome. Sometimes they bring you like, you know, like hand-drawn illustrations, which it's just awesome. And they look like you, you know, it's Christine with like really long hair. And I'm like, wow, I love it. But yeah, it was obviously a bit nerve-wracking because I know how much the fans obviously love the original cast, you know, and Stephanie and everything like that. But they're all lovely and really supportive. And I sort of was a bit nervous because I was like, oh, but they're the originals. But I think the only thing you can do is just know how much, you know, we're such a family anyway, like with the creatives and everything and all of the original cast and stuff, you know, we've seen all the footage and I love everything that they all do. So it's just amazing to just take the story and all you can really do is just put your own heart into it, really.
Yeah. It's funny because I asked that question and then almost instantly realized that, like, even I remember when the casting announcements came out that there is just such a great embrace by the fandom that, like, you know, what seems like something that could boil over into, oh my God, there's such a responsibility here, and this fandom is so robust and so, like, you know, feels so much ownership. But to come to think of it, it's like, even me as a fan of the show, when the casting announcements come out and they see the photos, read the bios, it's like instantly like, listen, if the Joes and Steven and the casting director get these people, I am in no matter what. I can't wait to see what they're gonna do. So maybe that question is more of a, I need to start thinking about that question more of as a of less of a negative and more of a positive. Like, what was that feeling like when you realize, yeah, you're getting fan art in 30 minutes of the announcement coming out and all of a sudden you've got people drawing you as the role? Like, that's amazing.
It's amazing. And the fans, they literally, like you say, they just embrace you. And like, I'm pretty sure they did the cast announcement and people were just literally like, we love these people already. And that's Be More Chill. That is Be More Chill. It's love and it's awareness of our community in general, like globally, the humans that we touch with, what it, you know, what we can do with our art, with our voices, everything like that. That is Be More Chill. It's the community and it's the way the fans are able to just embrace everything. And I think it is a place where you can go if you are a fan, and feel like, oh, I belong to this, and I'm a part of something. And you know, the show covers so many issues that are really relevant today for everyone, especially like at this time, you know, the anxieties and the voices in your head. And, you know, every one of those characters is going through something personal that is completely individual to them. And if somebody out there can relate to that and we're helping to tell that story, then yeah, it's just awesome to be a part of it, really.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Did you know any of the cast before you were cast? Were there any people in the show that you'd worked with before or known?
So Millie and I, Millie O'Connell and I actually were in the auditions like together. Like we were like literally back to back in every audition. So I kind of knew Millie a little bit just through the process. But weirdly, I had actually worked with Scott before.
What did you guys do together?
We did a new musical called The Lost Ones. It was Actor Muso. Scott was 17. He's such a
He's still 17. It's ridiculous. I'm like, you know what? Call me when you're 18. Let's talk then. Like he gets younger every day. It's ridiculous.
It's not fair.
No, don't like it.
No, I don't like it. I remember Scott because I walked in. It was an Actor Muso show. Scott was playing the violin. I was playing the guitar. And I walked in and I thought, man, that boy looks young. I was like a little bit gel because I was like, wow, he's like working in the industry and he's a teenager.
Yeah.
Wow. And actually, we were kind of supposed to be like love interests in the show, which was weird. It was going to have a slightly bigger workshop. I unfortunately then booked a different job. So I went and did that and I didn't get to sort of spend more time on that workshop. But yeah, we had a solid week on that show together.
Well, wow. Listen, that's an extra week in terms of like relationship building that others might not have had. So how did you handle your entrance? That is like one of the most iconic musical theater entrances. You have the magic of the buildup to your arrival from the other characters, which is incredible.
Yes.
But then you have to like, it's like the seas parting and Christine arrives and the pressure of that, I feel like could be a lot for someone. How am I going to live up to this expectation of being Christine? So yeah. How did you like, can you talk about that a little bit?
I mean, like Stephen Brackett will tell you, like he was laughing at me for a really like a good few days because
that's supportive.
Yeah, I mean it's important throughout the whole process that Stephen Brackett laughs at you. But I couldn't quite smash it. Like I just, because it was choreographed as well, I was like, Christine, boom, 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 cat, you know. And it has a very, very specific timing and kind of like choreo, but it's like naturalism choreo. And I just couldn't nail it, honestly, for at least a good week and a half. I just couldn't nail it because I think it's so personal to the character. And up until the very last like moment on opening night, we actually changed my entrance because the chapstick was just went flying off the stage every time. And I just was unable to drop it well enough.
That's okay. That's okay. So what did you end up like, but were you scared of your entrance or did you learn to love your entrance?
That opening number ended up being one of my favorite bits of the show. I just loved it. It's the most playful thing. They gave me these heart sunglasses, which I wish I could keep. Maybe I will be able to. They're awesome. And I kind of, you know, went in and honestly, those entrances in that number, I loved playing them so much every night because I just would make up something bonkers new that she was doing, you know, in her own Christine world. And I didn't become nervous anymore, but definitely in rehearsals, I was nervous every single time.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it took a while to get used to.
Can you talk to us a little bit about that first preview? I would assume that, you know, the stories are legendary already, just like for Broadway and off-Broadway, that the energy in the room is electric. Were you prepared for that crowd on that night?
No. Nope. And, you know, I was not prepared. I thought first preview might be quiet audience. Like, you know, we don't know. I mean, I'd heard it was sold out in the previews, but I was like, it's probably not. Maybe they're letting in. Like, I don't even know what I thought. I think I was still stressing about finding my shoe or something. But I honestly, the love that they had for us and every character who made their entrance, and they applauded and they whooped, and I was like, the adrenaline is something else. It was incredible. Like, we were just all like buzzing afterwards. Like, we just couldn't believe it. Like, the rest of the run is like this. I mean, we're never leaving. We're not leaving.
I was thinking about the irony of sort of doing Rocky Horror right before this, which is a show, not all musicals lend themselves to this, but Rocky Horror is a show where the audience feels like they want to sing along because they know it so well. And I wondered if Be More Chill felt like that too, where suddenly you're in a show that's the first time you're doing it, yet everyone in the audience knows the words already. That was certainly true in America. Was that happening in your audiences as well?
Yeah, I mean, going from Rocky Horror to Be More Chill was almost like, it was like being in the same galaxy, you know, but different planets. It was the same galaxy, different planets.
Mm-hmm.
It felt really like there was a lot of synergy between the two shows. It's even to like, you know, down to the fandom and the way the show uplifts, you know, the audience member, the way they come in there themselves. And, you know, a lot of Be More Chill fans, they come in cosplay. In Rocky Horror, there are bits that people clap at and they shout out and it's amazing. And so I was really lucky because I thought, oh, after Rocky Horror, I was like, I probably won't do a show where people are going to shout at me and sing along in the audience and applaud halfway through, you know, when Michael in the bathroom comes out. Whoa!
Yeah,
the bit where he comes with the Mountain Dew. But I was really lucky that was Be More Chill. And so I just felt really lucky and humbled to go into production where that was the culture. And, you know, without fail, each night there was probably more people in the audience, and there's always somebody singing along in the Be More Chill. I always often, whenever I'd start a guy that I kind of be into, I'd always look to like row C, and there was always somebody just going, oh, is this song? And one of the nights, one of the people on the front row was singing so loud. But I'm fine with it because I'm used to it because Rocky Horror, you know, trained me really well in it. But I was laughing in my head so much because I was thinking, I am literally listening to this person right now, but I'm singing. So I was like, I hope I don't get the words wrong, you know, like, but it's great. I mean, why not?
It's fascinating because, you know, I did a chat yesterday on a Facebook Live with an artistic director of a theater company in Montreal, and we were talking about the topic of like cell phones and theaters, and I'm squarely on the camp of like, no, and like, it's just this one sacred place for me that I don't want that to happen. And she said, yeah, and like the Jeremy O'Harris's of the world, he's the guy who wrote a slave play on Broadway, mm-hmm. who is like very pro the idea. He's like, yeah, Rihanna came to see the show and he was thrilled that she was texting him during it. And like, I see both sides of it, but she was reminding me that like, that's what theater was for centuries, that people would come and it was a party and you would yell at the audience, at the actors, you would shout and react vocally, you would get up from your seat, you would do things. I mean, for a certain period, she was explaining how like the opera was the place where you would go to have an affair, and you go there to like make out with your affair partner in the the box. And it really has had me thinking for the past 24 hours since I did that. And it's interesting, this Rocky Horror Be More Chill conversation is happening, that theater maybe can and should be this place where the audience doesn't just sit there politely and watch quietly. Like, there are other options there, and it still can be wonderful and not feel, you know, rude or disruptive.
Well, I am totally fine if they want to, like, make out during the show. I would totally prefer that than them talking on the phone to somebody else during my play, or the phone ringing or any of that. But 100% making out.
Great.
Just 100%. If we're voting. Yeah. When you were in high school, is there a character in this show that more represents who Miracle was at the time, or is Miracle the most like Christine in her high school experience?
Yeah, I wish I could say it was a different character just for fun, but Christine, yeah, Christine, maybe a bit Michael, maybe, you know, because, you know, he's pretty chilled as well. He just kind of does his own thing, and he's,
yeah.
I think, like both those characters, I've always had a sense of who I was, a very strong sense of who I am, kind of, you know, what I stand for, you know, what I liked to do. I mean, the funny thing about me in high school is I just was never going to do anything else. I was never going to do anything academic. I just didn't have the attention span for it. And, you know, the teachers would always sort of, like, laugh, because I'd just always be late to class, and they'd be like, where are you? I was in the music block, or I was in the drama department, or I was doing the dance class. And they're like, and they kind of just went, yeah, fair enough, because I just was that kid who I just wanted to do something creative. And that's why I think I really do relate to Christine, because although she probably has got lots of academic, you know, interests and aspirations, I think the one thing we have in common is that I kind of knew from a very young age, no, this is what I'm passionate about, and that means a lot to me. So I think, again, that's what I tried to take into the character. But also with Michael, he's, you know, he doesn't mind not being the coolest kid at school, and he's kind of his own person as well. So I feel like maybe a mix between the two of them.
I love that. I'm reminded of when Scott was telling us about how he, unlike what a lot of actors will do, instead of avoiding previous cast recordings and watching footage from other casts, and you already kind of hinted that you had as well, is that something that you embraced in the process, that you were, like, totally fine with the fact that there were two recordings out with Stephanie Hsu and lots of footage to watch, or were you trying to avoid that?
So before the audition, I listened to the recordings of the Broadway cast a few times to get kind of the sense of the show and the story and the narrative. But personally, I really don't like to watch other actors or hear other actors doing the role, especially if I'm auditioning, because I want to try and bring the most me I possibly can without imitating someone else, just because it's always going to serve you better to have your own spin on any character you go up for. And I think that's really important in the rehearsal process as well, just to make sure, you know, like, if there's something you're unsure about in like a story thing, like, you know, the party monster or something like that, you're like, oh, maybe I need to see what this is, because I'm not quite sure what I'm referring to, I would refer to a recording. But I hadn't actually seen any of the footage until the show opened. And then I watched it all.
That's good. That's fine. That's cool. Because then you've already sort of got it pretty much set.
Yeah.
And you've got your Christine, and then it's kind of fun to see what other Christines are.
Exactly. And then I kind of binge watched all the Be More Chill material online, because I thought, well, I've earned it now. The show's open. But yeah, I think with every role, because as an actor, the only thing that you have that makes you stand out is the fact that you're you. It's really important to just try and steer away from any influence. And that's purely it. It's just the influence. You know, if I was sort of not going in for a show or something, I'd happily sit there and watch, you know, any footage for days. But yeah.
Awesome. Do you have any moments that really stand out for you in terms of interactions with fans, whether it was at the stage or after the show or online since the casting news came out? Like, has there been moments that you really just sort of valued and think you'll remember forever?
Oh, like countless moments. Meeting everyone after the show is awesome. Like, you don't realize what you do touches so many people, and then you get to actually meet them. And a lot of time in a job, you wouldn't even know the effects of what you've done and how that might affect someone else. But we had very long queues every night. I went down the line, you know, as long as we could before the whole corona thing kicked in. Went and met all the fans. A lot of them have said how the show has helped them, you know, through anxiety and depression and things like that. And it just means the world to them. And I've had a lot of messages and sort of saying how, you know, maybe my performance, because I'm so free and so free in the performance and just going out there and being who I am, how it's helped people to feel like they can do the same thing and they don't need to feel judged and it's okay. You can be like weightless and just be yourself. And I think that's the thing that's touching the most. And the thing that I realize is the most important thing about Christine, to go out there and just be free. And it's incredible. And that's kind of why we do it, isn't it? So,
yeah. It's interesting how you say that it's rare in a job, in any job, to see the effects of what you're doing, but most importantly, immediately. Like someone pointed out to me, I think it was during the Broadway run of Be More Chill, I ran the VIP room, which was when cast and crew, family and friends would come backstage. And so I was constantly like, you know, sending the cast out to the stage door and, you know, they're coming back and saying, "Ooh, that was exhausting," or whatever it may be. And like someone pointed out to me, it's like, think about like an accountant, and they do their day, they do their work day. They do all their math and their spreadsheets and file the taxes for their clients, et cetera. And then imagine having to go through an hour of all of their clients saying how much that meant to them, yeah, and how much that changed their lives and how much doing that was. And it's like such a part of it. I mean, it's a glorious, wonderful, even sometimes exhausting part of it, but it's just wild that really truly is a part of it, that you do your job and then immediately through, of course, applause and standing ovations and whatever it may be, people are showing their appreciation, but then a stage door experience adding on another 45 minutes, 60 minutes to that of like just constantly people explaining to you how much that affected them. It's wonderful.
Absolutely. And, you know, the amount of people who say they relate to Christine, or, you know, you get so many people saying, "Oh, I want to play Christine, like, you know, when I'm older," or things like that. And it's always so like warming to hear. And you're like, "Oh, you should go for it. She's my favorite character in a musical." And it's like, "Oh, so cute."
Joe Iconis wrote the anthem for every musical theater and performance lover with I Love Play Rehearsal.
Absolutely.
Like he found a way to express, no matter who you are, no matter what part of theater you hang your hat on, like that song will live forever, right? Just as like this kind of anthem that, you know, I walk down the street, inevitably that song pops in my head. I didn't play that part, right? But the idea that like you got to own it and you got to voice it and be the person who kind of sings that national anthem of all things theater is like, it must have felt so incredible. In hearing your story and knowing that you, from the time you could open your mouth, were singing and dancing and just expressing yourself in that way, it must have been really amazing that someone like, I always feel like Joe just wrote songs like he was somehow in my head or read my diary and then put it in a song, right? Like it's such an extraordinary talent and you got to do it.
The lyrics in all of the songs are just so awesome, and they feel so verbatim and of the minute, and exactly what that character's feeling. He manages to capture it completely. And I think, the hardest thing about playing Christine, and no wonder that's the audition song, because you live that. I'm living that as an actor. So many of the fans you meet are like, theater is everything to me, and I love play rehearsal is exactly how I feel, and I sang this song and it makes me feel like this. And so to be able to, you know, be the face and the vessel for this incredible song that so many people relate to is amazing. And that's where you're, you know, that's where that, when I got that material for, I thought, this is where I can flex my acting muscles, because there is, she goes through such a massive journey and we all know it as well. And I think it probably was my most favorite thing to do every night. And it's just that bit at the end where she's, you know, it's starting. And we described it as Christine's Disneyland, because she's just living her best life and she's owning the stage and getting an applause after that every night. That's an actor's dream. That is why you do it. That's why you love play rehearsal. It's just encompassed.
And also that song in particular, like, it starts really gently, right? Like, she just starts feeling out, like, is this someone who's going to receive this? And then screw it. Like, who cares what he thinks? I'm going to sing this entire, like, it's amazing.
Impressions, she's got everything. She's doing any of it. Yeah, I got to a stage in the run where I was doing a lot of movies in that little, there's a little bit where you can kind of like improv it every night. I was doing a lot of like my favorite movies, like The Grinch, like doing a Grinch impression, or like doing Darth Vader. And like, yeah, it's awesome. And working with Joe is incredible. He is such a lovely man and amazing experience.
So I feel like you said it earlier, but there was then my volume went out. When you think about like the thing that Joe said to you, that sort of, like you said something about going against the grid?
Yeah.
Did that make sense to you? Did that sort of go, okay, I got it?
Instantly it made sense to me, because she has to almost be the one that doesn't lose it. You know, she has a journey in the show, but it's quite an internal journey for herself. And it's actually a very adult one, maybe compared to what you might see the other characters dealing with. And she has to be the strong one to stay there so that the other characters can almost rotate around her, just so the story has that anchor. And the amazing thing about her is, like he said, she's against the grain, because she doesn't mind, she doesn't care what anyone thinks, she really doesn't. And, you know, Jeremy might want to be popular, or they might have social anxiety about this, or, you know, I'm in love with this character, or blah, 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 blah. But Christine, it's like, it's very adult. It's like, no, what is the right thing to do? What's the wrong thing to do? What is the future? What, you know, she's the one who's asking those very adult questions. And in a weird way, it makes her slightly more unique, because she doesn't get swept into the anxieties and things like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Miracle, what have you been doing in quarantine? Like, what's been your go-to sort of cozy, wonderful way to get through this? I have my answer that everyone knows, which is playing Animal Crossing on Nintendo Switch. Like, what's the thing that you go to that's like the thing that's getting you through the past few weeks?
My go-to. I've been practicing a lot of guitar and singing.
You played before? Like, you're just practicing, or are you teaching yourself how to play guitar?
So I play a bit before, okay. But I'm trying to like get better at it. And I'm trying to keep myself busy as well. I'm doing like a solo gig next week. So I'm learning a bunch of new material for that. Just getting really stuck into some, you know, songs and singing and reading. I'm reading as well. I'm reading some Jack Kerouac at the minute, actually.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
I used to be a very big beat poet scholar, but that was 20 years ago in high school, and I forgot all about it. But the books are still on the bookshelf, and even yesterday I saw one. I was like, I need to get back into the beats again.
Yeah, oh my goodness, you should. Yeah, no, that's really cool. No, I've been really enjoying that and kind of learning all his teachings, which has been interesting. And also, I've been watching a lot of documentaries about Japanese food.
Okay, all right.
Cool. That is very niche.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do that when we finish.
I know. It's so calming. I just can't get over how calming Japan is. Every time I'm watching a documentary on Japan, I'm just intrigued. I'm fascinated.
Like, what is it, do you think? Do you think it's just because everything is very orderly and clean and organized?
Yeah, clean, organized, like a completely different, type of landscape of cities. I'm like fascinated by the culture. I absolutely love eating so much ramen all the time and sushi. So like, I'm like, kind of see the food and like, you know, like satisfies me to watch all the nice food. But like, also interesting culture as well. Just really calming. Yeah.
Sounds like it seems like the three of us need to plan our Japan trip as soon as quarantine is over. We'll meet you in Tokyo.
Yeah.
In September, if not 2020, 2021.
Hopefully soon.
Well, we are over the moon that we got to spend this time with you. You know, we're all looking for moments, or an hour in this case, of joy and distraction and inspiration. And you really offer that on every level. And we're so grateful to you and your talent and your singular voice and the way that you really, from moment one, there was no one else who was going to play this part. Like, it was yours. And we have to thank your parents for giving you the name that has sort of opened up from day one, your ability to kind of connect with people and understand your own specialness in that way. And anyway, Sam and I were devastated that because of Corona, we weren't able to get there to see you. But life is long and you never know. Yeah. But the thing that we always ask everyone to answer when we come to the end is, I'm going to just ask you to finish this sentence, okay? Are you ready?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Before the pub quiz begins, Be More Chill is...
beautiful.
Love
what
it.
What else is
simple
there?
Simple and lovely.
That's it. Miracle, is there any place that people can listen? I know that you are a very prolific singer-songwriter. Is there a name different for Miracle Chance to find your music, or is everything under one banner in your life?
I mean, I'm lucky. Luckily, nobody else had the name on Equity.
Actors Equity was like, no, you're good.
Yeah, I'm sure, because you know it's a weird. All my stuff. I've got some quite kind of old stuff on Spotify under Miracle Chance. I'm going to be doing a solo gig, which I'm actually terrified and nervous about, on the 20th of May. What month are we? I forget what day it is these days.
Yeah,
20th of May. So if people want to tune in then, I'm going to be doing some original songs, some Be More Chill stuff, and some other musical theatre.
Where can one watch that?
Pardon?
Where can one watch that? On YouTube?
Oh, on the it's on the theatre cafe. You can get tickets, and it's going to be like a live stream, basically, of the gig. So I'm doing that because I was like, why not? I'm very nervous, but I'm going to do it. I'm doing that. And yeah, just Miracle Chance, I guess, if you Google me, hopefully.
All right. Last question. Who would have been your high school squip?
Okay, I'm going to stick with this one, which I love. But Joni Mitchell, she's a legend.
Oh.
She's a legend.
Joni Mitchell. I mean, no one speak. No one speak after that. That's it.
Mic drop.
Exactly.
Mic drop.
Drop the mic. Exactly.
Miracle, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. It was absolutely our pleasure to spend this hour with you. I really hope I'm going to get to see you perform Christine Canigula and Be More Chill in London one day soon.
Thank you so much for having me, and I hope you guys get to see it too. Fingers crossed.
We will. All right. Stay safe, be well, and see you on the other side.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Love you guys.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history, and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.